Hello and welcome to the Rangers Review. I'm in the way of saying morning briefing, but it's definitely not a morning briefing. It's a late afternoon briefing here with me, Johnny McFarlane, and my guest today, who's still on mute, I think, but he's not anymore, Stevie Clifford. Stevie, how you doing, pal?
Yeah, I'm doing good, thanks, mate. I'm on mute because the kids are downstairs playing, and you never know when one of them will burst in, you know, like a bad scene from the BBC asking Dad if they can get a biscuit. So I'm trying to avoid that scenario. And Johnny, just read your Ebo article on the Rangers Review site. So obviously there's quite a bit in there, but what's happening with your Ebo?
Well, I think the big news in terms of what we've been reading over the last few days, I can firm up, Stevie, that indeed there is serious Premier League interest in the player. That is absolutely correct. And Crystal Palace and Fulham are the two clubs that I think are very serious, but especially Crystal Palace in terms of wanting to bring Aribo in. My understanding is at the moment, Rangers haven't had an official bid. Now, what is a bid, Stevie? What is a bid? It's a big question. It's the subject of the Rangers Review's newsletter tonight. You know, football's a face-to-face environment or a Zoom environment now. It certainly involves people talking. And the difference between an official bid and conversations is obviously stark. But people shouldn't think that because there hasn't been an official bid, it's dead in the water. That's what I would say. But I think Rangers are in a position where they will not accept less than a valuation that they have for the player. They are in a situation where they don't have to sell anyone this summer. They have done very well in terms of financially from this European run. But there's players with 1 year left on their contract, Stevie, and I think when you're in that situation, it's not about what you have to and you don't have to do. It's about what's sensible for the future of the club. It's about sticking to that player trading model that the club have been very honest and open about having in place. And if you're asking me now if I think Joe Aribo will stay or he'll go, Stevie, I would say at the moment, I think there's a deal there to be done. But you just don't know how it will go. I sat here on this video over many, many months telling everyone that I thought Conor Goldson would be down the road. And if that's taught me anything, Stevie, is that I'll never say never, ever, ever again when it comes to football, because you just never know what's around the corner. And but I think at this stage, if this interest does indeed firm up and get to the point where an official bid comes in, and I think that is likely, I think Joe Aribo, if the valuation is met, would be a player that I think will end up in the Premier League.
And what do we think? What do we think a fair value is? I know what I would be prepared to deal at, and there's a lot of thing on social media, Joe, about Rangers fans undervaluing our players. And although that's not going to matter in the grand scheme of things, I wondered, where would you pitch Joe Aribo? There's been talk of a clause and things like that in his contract, which obviously we're not going to know the ins and outs of, but would you have a valuation in your mind where the club would be at, and what would you think would be fair for him?
Like, my own opinion on it, Stevie, I think the club are careful not to go into detail publicly about what their valuations are, but I think that you know, they are firm in terms of what they want, and I would say if you're asking me what my opinion is, I would say between 8 and 10 million pounds, and obviously that'll depend on where the interest comes from and how much interest there is. Joe Aribo is worth more than that, but we've got to be cognizant of the fact he has 1 year left on his deal, and that always brings with it a reduction on the kind of sum you can expect to take in. I think he's been a phenomenal player for Rangers over the period that he's been at the club. He did cost 300,000. Now, obviously, there was agents' fees and things like that, but that was the fee that it took to bring him to Ibrox in the first place from Charlton. He arrived at the club with an astounding amount of noise around him coming from his former manager, Lee Bowyer, who was really quite peeved off by the transfer, and he said that this was the wrong move for his career. And the one thing you can say about Aribo, Stevie, is that he really, really has shoved those words back down his former manager's throat to an extent, because he is now a European finalist. He's a goal scorer in a European final. He's a 55 champion. He's a Scottish Cup winner, and of course, he's an established Nigerian international. And all these things have come off the back of this transfer to Rangers. So I think Lee Bowyer has definitely got that wrong, and Joe Aribo's proved them wrong in that sense. In terms of the quantum of the fee, you know, given that it was a £300,000 deal, it's going to be many times that Rangers are going to get a significant profit on this. And on top of that, I think you have to take into account what he has delivered and the success Rangers have had. I think I read, and I think it was your column, Stevie. I'm about to steal your lines, but you were talking about Alfredo Morelos yesterday, and I'm sure we'll go into the detail of that as we go on in this video. But you were talking about, yes, there was a £16.5 million bid from Lille, and Rangers are not going to probably get that much now. But in the 2 years since that Lille bid came in, what's been achieved? Well, yeah, the biggest title in the history of the club, arguably, the Scottish Cup, an incredible European run that's brought in a huge amount of riches. Stuart Robertson himself says that it's bigger than what would have been brought in from the Champions League if Rangers had got past Malmo and got to the group stage. That's all off the back of the player performance. And, you know, just discussing this with a few people today, just one last thing. I know I'm whittering on, but there's a psychological thing about how you look at these sort of transfers. When Erling Haaland went to Dortmund, Dortmund weren't saying that they were going to pin down Erling Haaland for the rest of his career. They knew that if he came in and delivered the goods, his next move was going to be to an elite club. Now, Dortmund are obviously an elite club, but an even bigger club, someone like Man City, one of the top 10 clubs. And Dortmund are not measuring how successful that transfer has been based on the difference between transfer A and transfer B. They're also assessing it based on what he's delivered during that period. And I think that's an important part that we sometimes miss. We get obsessed with 300,000 against 10 million or 300,000 against 5 million or whatever that may be. But the truth is, you've got to factor in what they've delivered during that time. And if it's not been significant, Stevie, then it doesn't, it's not fulfilling every part of the circle that Rangers need from a transfer. And that's where I think Joe Aribo has been a big success.
Yeah. I think the thing is, it's key as well that Rangers talk a lot about having a model of selling and buying low and selling big as being the kind of transfer activity they want to establish. This is, you use the word poster boy, and it is, it's completely correct that we bought a guy in for a £300,000 transfer fee. We've more or less recycled him in terms of turning him into a full international. We've given him a platform. He has to take that platform. So it's not all around Rangers in terms of Joe Aribo's done that himself. He has performed. At times, he's went through some wonderful kind of spells of form, which we've seen when Giovanni Van Bronckhorst first came in. He was wonderful, 6, 7, 8 weeks. There was people talking about him in the same breath as the guys in the wall behind me there. So that's how good we thought he was at the time. And he's been successful. He has delivered a league title, which he played a huge part in, Scottish Cup, he was good in Europe, very effective ball winner, higher up the pitch, and things that we maybe don't see that we'll miss when he's not there. So if Joe Aribo goes, because it's still a big if in terms of, like we spoke about, we never know what's round the corner. But if it's looking likely, I don't grudge him it, Johnny. I don't grudge him his move that he wants in terms of him going to London or in terms of him going back to English Premier League. I think it's a successful thing. And I would hope that other players in the future, if they look at it and see, well, hold on, Joe Aribo came in at 300,000. A couple of years, they turned him around. They made him a winner. He won silverware. And then he got his big move down south. That's their model. It does work. It has shown to work. They're a good club to go and join. So I think that sets a nice precedent on the back of Nathan Patterson's transfer as well. So while it's never good that big players are going to move on, etc., I'm actually positive about this in terms of what it could lead to next, the money that's coming in for them. And I know people will say 8 to 10 million from England, etc., and I get it. And I said that today. In an ideal world, we'd maybe want more than that, maybe want twice as that. But we're in the last season. In terms of his contract, by the end of August, he's free to do whatever he wants, you know, in the next transfer window coming up in January. So we have to be careful. I don't think we're in the position where we can allow anyone to go out for free when that kind of money's there, especially if Gio could get that and reinvest that, hopefully, in two players. So that's where I am with it, Johnny. I think he's been a good player for us. I don't think he's reached his potential or peak yet, and I would hope that he would go down there and really smash it. He's produced some lovely moments. When you think about, you know, the European Cup final goal, which the Europa League Cup final goal, which could have been, you know, the moment. But I look back into wee moments like his goal against Dundee United on the way to 55, where he smashes it in the top corner. A lovely strike. He's a really capable player. So, no, I'm looking forward in a strange way. People will say, you know, you don't want to lose players, and I think that. But it opens up doors for us in terms of what we do with the money. Is there players then going to be coming in? Maybe we could get forward players. So it excites me a wee bit in terms of that, Johnny.
Yeah, I think one of the interesting things when you talk to people in football, not just at Rangers, just in football in general, Stevie, there's a lot of factors that play into transfer performance, the level and the quantum of a transfer. And one of the factors that plays in is, have your players delivered in the past when they've made moves? What is the background of previous sales and how they've done? So, for example, a few people are saying in the comments there about Celtic getting 14 million for Ayer. But Celtic are also a club that turned over Virgil van Dijk. Now, that's just a fact. And in terms of Rangers, this is probably the first one that would be considered to be part of, because of where the club's been, part of this transfer process. This, you take them low, you develop them, and you sell them high. And someone like Nathan Patterson, it's really important, I think, that he goes on to have success. I'm absolutely certain he will. But players like Aribo, if they go down there, if he makes the move, if another couple of Rangers players make the move and they have success, you will see that that improves transfer fees over the long term. The example I would use for this, Stevie, would be Porto. Now, two or three, four, 5 years ago, Porto and Benfica were selling players to the Premier League for 20, 30 million, and there was a ceiling on them of that. Bruno Fernandes comes along and he goes for, he's a special talent, there's no doubt about that. Goes for 65 million quid, comes to Manchester United and absolutely thrashes it, is superb. Guess what? Darwin Nunes is 100 million. It's because the ceiling has been raised of what players in the Portuguese league can go for and the success they can have. And that's something that's built up over many, many years of developing players properly. And I think that's one of the many elements that goes into player sales that sometimes we just don't really think about when we're looking at what a player might be worth. So I just thought I'd chuck that in there. I don't know if you agree with that or not, mate. It's just
I do. It's fair, and I don't want to talk about, you know, our rivals too much on this show. But what I will say is they've got a history of sales which they can maybe point to, which means that when they're dealing with Ayer or whoever it was they sold last summer, Edward, etc., then they can maybe do like a good deal. I would hope that if we're in this position, like you're saying, and it comes up again, we can move it up, like you're saying, to the next level. Yeah. So I know that some people are disappointed by that, but I also think that COVID has had a big effect on middle. How do I explain this, Johnny? Like middle transfers in terms of the ones, the bigger ones are still happening, I get that. But see the kind of 10, 20 million ones, they're not as, I think, maybe I'm wrong, maybe somebody will come on and say that there's been more and I'll look silly. But I think it's had an effect on that kind of market, whereas maybe a couple of years ago before this happened, we would have got more in this position. But I still think it's good business for Rangers in terms of what we've spent on them, in terms of what we bring them in. And then we've as I said, recycle for me is a kind of word that's not meaning to be derogatory because he has to take the platform. Again, I don't want to make it out that he hasn't earned it because I think he has. But as a club, we've given them the right environment, given them the platform to go and perform. We've then potentially turned them around and sold them on for an eight-figure sum, which would be a dream scenario. And remember, as a club, we've not sold too many players at that value, Nathan Patterson being the biggest. So it's baby steps to get to where we want to go in the transfer market, in my opinion.
Stevie, one thing that because I'm deeply unprofessional and because Derek normally takes care of this sort of stuff, what I haven't done is I've not mentioned our sponsors. So let me take 30 seconds just to talk about the OneFootball app. which is obviously a one-stop shop for all your football news. You can go on there, select Rangers, and it will deliver you updates as and when Rangers news hits. Of course, if there's games on, it'll tell you about goals that have been scored. It'll tell you about team lineups. It's just a terrific way to keep track on what's happening at your club. And it doesn't have to just be Rangers. I know many of you now have teams across the European theatre that you might keep an eye on. So someone like a Chelsea or like an AC Milan. And of course, you can also add them onto your list too and get notifications and updates. There's just loads of content on there. And it's just a cracking app to use. It is available absolutely free. You just have to go onto the App Store, type in One Football and download it. So there we go. That's a word from our sponsors. Stevie, we'll move on now. We've been talking about Joe Aribo for 15 minutes, but perhaps the man that we should move on to next, the second of the three players that's out of contract at the end of next season, and the man that you talked about in your column yesterday, Alfredo Morelos. Do you want to just touch on the themes of your column, which was absolutely excellent, and kind of give us an update on where you think you would like that situation to be at?
Well, obviously, it was on the back of the big news reported mainly from Spain that Sevilla were contemplating or perhaps readying an 8 million euro kind of bid for Alfredo. We know now that Rangers have denied that and said there was no contact and there's been no bids. I'm quite comfortable with that. I don't think there's any kind of, I think that's the truth of where we are. We always get this with Alfredo. Sometimes there's a wee bit of mischief making from agents or perhaps other people. And you've got to hope that his focus is on getting fit and returning. And to be fair to him, there's been a lot of videos on his social media and that look like he's doing exactly that. So we want to see, you know, a healthy and fit Alfredo. On the article today, the biggest point and the first point I said is what we all want is Alfredo to sign a contract and be in the zone that he can be in, where I feel that he's possibly our best player in the team. When he's in that mood, he's the pinnacle of everything and he can be the difference maker. So that was the first point. The second point was if he wasn't going to sign a contract, it might be now the time to look at moving him on. And it's only a personal opinion. I wouldn't sell him for 8 million euro. I don't think that's anywhere near. I'd be looking for 11, 12 million euro. 8 to 10 million, again, Joe Aribo. I think it's in that ballpark area. But I would want add-ons or a sell-on definitely for Alfredo, because if he goes to Sevilla, I think he's the type of player that could kick on. Sevilla, as an example, not as a... I don't think it's a possibility as such. Rangers are still talking to him, which we hope is going to, you know, provide what we all want, which is a contract extension. Alfredo's a big favourite, so we know that. But I'm not as downbeat in terms of, I would have said, and I would say at this moment, I think there's more chance of Alfredo Morelos staying than there is anybody else. And I include Conor Goldson in that, who's already signed and stayed. If you'd asked me a couple of months ago, I would have been certain that Alfredo will stay. So I'm still kind of there and I still think he will. That doesn't mean I think he'll be here the next 5 years. I just think I'm hopeful. The noises I'm hearing, I'm hopeful that he'll stay and that he's going to be one that we're looking at. The column today was based on more of a Alfredo as a pinnacle point on it, that just what I said about Joe Aribo, I don't think we're in a position where anybody can leave for free. So it might be a position where if we find out that's not going to work with a contract as a club, it might be time that we go, right, we need to make the hard decision here with regards to Alfredo's future, which would be for me looking at trying to move him on. Now, I know it's not as easy as just selling him. Players have the power and interest, but I think if it was made available, Alfredo was made available, there would be teams looking to get him and come in. He's such a top quality player. But if you're asking me, Johnny, if I was a gambling or a hopeful man, which I'm not a gambling man, if I'm a hopeful man, I still think Alfredo's got, out of the three of them, up there with Ryan Kent has been the biggest ones to stay. And if you're talking about the three of them going and we're keeping Kent, we're keeping Alfredo, Conor Goldson's rejoined as an extra added bonus, Joe Aribo being the one that we might lose. I'm not saying everybody would have taken that, but Joe Aribo, controversially maybe, has a lesser impact in the Rangers team than Ryan Kent and Alfredo Morelos coming out of it. So I'm not saying it's the best move. We don't want anyone to go to reiterate that. But I think if you get Alfredo to stay, you get Ryan Kent to stay, Joe Rebo's money may be used for somebody on the right-hand side, an attacking midfielder. All of a sudden, that becomes exciting. Ryan Kent doesn't have two players on him anymore because they're too busy watching the guy on the right, etc. So this is what I hope for, Johnny. Me and Joshua talked about the need for goals and numbers in this team, and I'm excited. That's what I mean by saying I'm excited about what could happen on the back of Joe Aribo's transfer out. If we get that money and Gio manages to get a couple of players in that he wants, I'm excited about those possibilities. But on Alfredo, a sneaky suspicion that he's going to be okay.
Yeah, I can tell you for a fact that 8 million euros, mate, is not going to cut it. It's definitely not going to cut it. We'll see how it goes. I'd actually think, if I'm being honest, Stevie, I think Seville would be a really, really good club for him. Yeah. If they were interested, if that does cement itself, and I think his team would see that as a good move. But I'm like you, I think there's a long way to go, and I know Rangers are still very, very, very keen to retain Alfredo Morelos. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst is obviously a huge fan. You can see that they really did get the best out of him. The difference in Giovanni Van Bronckhorst Morelos and Steven Gerrard's Morelos was stark and immediate. And I think that we were talking about this in the video yesterday, me and Joshua. And I'll put the same question to you that Joshua put to me. Now, Alfredo Morelos has not got a great record in the Scottish Premiership, Stevie. His best goal return for a season is 17. But under Giovanni Van Bronckhorst and the way he makes him a focal point and looks to get balls into the box, would you be confident that Morelos could go and really smash that next season if he remains?
Yes, and here's another controversial statement around Alfredo Morelos and something that I've said, and people, I can already feel people going to come at me for this, Johnny. Alfredo Morelos hasn't had a solid season at Rangers yet. He's very much been bits and pieces here and there. 6 months, a burst of incredible kind of form. And he does that in spells, like the season where we won the league. After the turn of the year, he carried us through quite a lot of games. I'm thinking about Aberdeen away when he got his couple. He made the big difference in the Old Firm when Beaton got sent off. And he's able to bring big moments. And I think that if he became that kind of player under Gio that he was when Gio first came in, he had a real burst of form December into January time before he then unfortunately began to get the effects of the injury. If you can get that, but also, this is where I'm excited, it goes back to what I said slightly before, if all of a sudden Alfredo Morelos wasn't the only threat, if we had other options, Gio's bringing in a right winger, attacking midfielder, Ryan Kent coming in off the left, there'd be less pressure on these guys. So the possibility that Alfredo Morelos gets more space, more chances, more type of play that he likes from those type of players, we become a better team. And then all of a sudden, 17 goals for Alfredo Morelos in the league, it's not unbeatable. Alfredo goes on one of those runs and we manage to sustain it. You've got a potential of a player, hopefully, that can hit 25.
I've got Walter Zenga telling me that Bruno Fernandes was at Lisbon. Now, I know that. I was talking about Portuguese football in general, but if I said that he was at Benfica or whatever, I apologise. Hold my hands up on that one. Just a wee one, Stevie. I'm just throwing this out there. I feel like this is a return to like 2016 and the Mark Warburton era here, but CMG55 saying, speaking of 20 million, where's nonsense we're going to sign Harry Winks coming from? Have you heard this?
I thought he'd signed for Everton.
Yeah,
so that's how up to date we are not in that market.
No. Look,
I think that's fair to say, unless we're getting a development loan for a kind of £20 million player like we had with Diallo. There's been talk. I know that Alan Hutton said recently that he would, you know, welcome him back, etc.
Yeah,
I'm not so sure that might happen. Maybe it will later in the window and things. Maybe, but regard to Harry Winks. Be nice, Johnny. Left-footed player. He's quite a nice, talented boy, but I don't think there's any danger that we're getting 20 million for him. What a surprise that would be tomorrow waking up. Yeah. They just spend their whole budget on Harry Winks.
So, I'm not sure I would be on board with that. He does have a lovely left foot. And, you know, I think those of us of our vintage, Stevie, who sort of grew up watching players like Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, who himself just had a wonderful left foot, languid lefty in the centre midfield. There's nothing better, really. It's fantastic to watch, but it gives you real balance in there as well. But I don't think that one's going to happen, is it? Let's be honest. In terms of just the general feeling around this window, Stevie, I may be wrong, but I'm suspecting that the sort of temperature's rising a little bit in this pool that we Rangers observers float along in. I mean, it's June 24th, mate. I mean, are we getting a little bit ahead of ourselves here? I mean, I understand there's a desire to see instant changes and react to the failure to win the league. But the more I look back on that season coldly, dispassionately, Stevie, you're looking at it from a point of view of just the hard facts of it. You're looking at a game against Dundee United when Rangers had an expected goals of 4 and scored 1, missing chance after chance. And then Fashion Sakala hits the inside of the post at Celtic Park. These two things are different, and the league title is in a different destination. I mean, this is what we're talking about in terms of the close nature of last year's title race. I mean, fine margins, wasn't it? This squad, for me, if you look at it, it's in a good place if it's kept together. And there doesn't need to be that much done. Or am I wrong?
What I would say is a couple of things in there. I'll come to that point in a wee second. You said, are we beginning to kind of heat up in terms of where we are in the transfers? I would expect business in the next couple of weeks, ins and outs, as we prepare to go to Portugal and things in the first week of July. I don't think that's not a huge in-you-know thing. That's just what I say. I said a couple of weeks ago, Johnny, and it was kind of not taken the best way, that we don't need to panic yet about the lack of rumours. And that was my Rangers Review kind of article saying, it's only the first week of June, we need to relax. I would suspect the more we come to the end of the window, things will start to heat up both in and out. And you won't hear about these things until they're close to being done. So that's one thing I do kind of like. I know people enjoy rumours and that, but having been there before and being in the middle of all that, I like just being told, done, dusted, he's coming in. So I look forward to that in the next couple of weeks. I do think we'll get a couple of faces in and out. So in terms of this squad and where we are, I would have told you back in February and told you back in March, and I did on columns and things, that I think that this team needs to be ripped up. I had somewhat of a resurgence in terms of player performance, in terms of Giovanni Van Bronckhorst getting more out of that squad. He was very much enclosed in 14 to 16 players. Then he opened it up slightly. Stephen Davis came back in. Scott Wright came back in. Both of them made an impression. And I think that slightly changed Giovanni Van Bronckhorst's stance in terms of where he might think we are this summer. Rangers will go for quality instead of quantity, and I think that's really important. I don't think we're looking at 6 in. I think we're looking at 2 or 3 in that can immediately go into the first team and start. And if we get that, Johnny, then I think we're in a really good position, because we talked about this with Joshua on the Rangers Review on Monday or Tuesday when I was on with him. I think defensively we're really solid with lots of options. I think defensive midfield there were loads of options as well. It's that front four where I think beyond your kind of back four and your two sitting midfielders, if they're doing it that way, the kind of more advanced midfielders up for grabs, especially if Kamara and Aribo are going, you're looking at Hadji and Lowry coming in there that can provide the options. Maybe somebody else, if he's looking the right side and a forward. We get them numbers in, people that can all of a sudden produce them moments, produce those goals, it's going to be close and it's going to be a good title race. It was fine margins last year, and I think that's fair. But I'm not one of those ones, Johnny, hate to be unstaunch and say this, that say that we handed it or we threw it away. If a team win 30 games or whatever, unbeaten in what they did, then fine. Sometimes you have to say, I don't like that when we won 55, everybody said Celtic threw it away. I don't believe that's the case. We've got to be better. We've got to be more consistent in the games out with Old Firms. And I think that's a big point. We need to add numbers. We need to add goals. If we get that, I'll be pretty confident and where we are and where we are as a team. The Scottish Cup win was really big for me, not only mentally for this group of players, but as a base for Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. I know how much the players like him. They already speak about him being a tactical wizard and things. Remember, John Lundstrom actually said that. He said he loves the tactics. Alfredo Morelos is really happy, speaks Spanish and gets on better. I think there's a better harmony in there. I don't think we'll see the same stuttery start under Gio that we might have seen last summer due to a wee bit of fatigue. If we could get those faces in, those numbers, those goals, 2 or 3, Johnny, that's where I am in terms of what this team needs.
Yeah, I understand that the players, you know, there'll always be the one or two who doesn't agree with this, but I think the players really have taken to Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. I don't think they necessarily did it first, Stevie. I think it took a little bit of time, you know, replacing Steven Gerrard. He's got a completely different managerial style. He's much more relaxed, much less intense. But I know that he was a big factor in Conor Goldson's re-signing. And I understand that he was pivotal, absolutely pivotal, in terms of Alan McGregor's decision-making. And he really, really did want McGregor to be a key part of the team next season. Whether or not that'll be number one or not, that's another matter, of course. What I mean by that is that a key part of the squad. Just interesting what you said there about you thinking there should have been a big rebuild, Stevie. The way I've been describing it, because I was exactly the same, is that what we're initially expecting was a Rangers rebuild, but what now we're facing is a Rangers reboot. And I think that's what you're going to see, a slight adjustment. The point you make on Kent is absolutely nailed on from me. If you have a right winger who has the capability of Ryan Kent will get many more goals and assists. Because at the moment, what teams do is they double up on Ryan Kent and say, James Tavernier is not as dangerous, although he is very dangerous, but of the two, and we'll kind of cede the right side because we know Ryan Kent is absolutely deadly. If you've got Tavernier and a winger out there, teams are not going to be able to do that. And it's going to be really, really difficult to defend against Rangers in that spot. And it's difficult at the moment because if you've got Tavernier freed up down the right, he delivers. He absolutely does. But if you've got a deadly striker, attacker like Kent on the other side, I think that could actually change the entire dynamic of the team in terms of the way Gio traditionally would want to play with that sort of Dutch style of having wide wingers.
I also think as well that, see, in terms of if we're looking for somebody to replace it, and which is fair to say I think we are, without kind of going into names and people that have been linked, if we're looking for that certain type of striker that can bang in 12 to 15 goals, you'll see a different side to Alfredo Morelos as well, because we're not then so focused on him. There might be games where Alfredo, he might not like it, but he doesn't necessarily have to play these games, and we'll see a fresher, more energetic side of Alfredo Morelos. I think there's an argument to be made that he has, for four or five seasons, always been the main man that we've looked to. Wee bit about that on my article today, Johnny, was if they decided and things didn't work out and Alfredo went, then it might be a good thing for Rangers to break that tie they have with him in terms of over-reliance.
Yeah,
that can also be the same as if they get in another option and all of a sudden Alfredo Morelos is fighting for his place a wee bit. But as a team, we're not always playing for Alfredo Morelos. If he's not working out in a game, we can bring on option B. Then you've got Kamar Roof and you've got other options there as well that can come in. Hadji coming back, Alex Lowry breaking into the team. And I think you'll see a lot more of him as well. He's a real goal threat. You know, he carries that type of thing we're looking for, ironically. So already I think we're stronger if you kind of look at it that way. That's why I think that reboot's a good thing to say, two or three in terms of, but 4 or 5 months ago, Johnny, I would have told you 6, 7, 8. So yeah, it has developed. I think Gio's also changed his style. You mentioned something about maybe not working at the start. I thought we were very defensive at the start. I think Gio's went full circle. I think this squad, the way we play, prefer to destroy and carry games and take games to teams. And I think that Gio's maybe adapted and liked that a lot more. So I'm more comfortable with we are. As I said, I'm really happy with the Scottish Cup win. I think that could be huge, and I'm hoping that that'll be a real platform for everybody. Give me a couple of bodies and some good goal scorers, and I'll be ready to go.
And final point, Stevie, before we wrap this up, it just occurred to me as you're talking about it. You know, we know Joe Aribo's best position. Well, I certainly feel his best position is number 10. If he was just imagine he's to depart, you've still got Hadji and Lowry there. And you look at what's happened with Leon Balogun, a player I don't think in many years in the past would have been allowed to leave Ibrox, given what he delivered last season. I mean, the outpouring of positivity and love towards Leon Balogun just speaks volumes on what he delivered. But at the same time, you've got such a talented young kid coming through in Leon King. And it's great from my point of view, because I've been banging on about it for years, that Rangers need to have a proper pathway. And I think they've got two youngsters there in King and Lowry that actually really, really do have the talent and have kind of shown in the small amounts that they've been given that they have the potential to be Rangers players. And that's a big step up. But I think the club need to be really doubling down on that strategy. And it looks to me like they are. They are leaving those places. Now, there may be a number 10 that comes in, Stevie. You know, I'm not aware of that. But it gives me great confidence that Alex Lowry's there.
Thing about Alex Lowry is we spoke to him just before the Europa League final. We had a kind of couple of minutes with him. He's comfortable in any position in that front three. So you've seen him at Tynecastle come in off the left-hand side and beautifully score with a quick touch. He's capable of playing wide. He prefers, and his favourite position is number 10, he'll tell you that, but he also will say he's delighted to play anywhere. So you've got a flexibility. You can possibly move him around. The thing with Alex Lowry is maybe not so important about position at this point. It's the threat that he brings and the confidence he has in himself. We've seen goals in the Cup, Stirling Albion, I believe, if memory's right. We've seen the goal at Tynecastle. We've seen the goal in the Rangers B game against Celtic B at home. He's got the confidence just to go straight through the middle. Hearts, he was coming in off the wide. So I'm really, really excited about Alex Lowry. In terms of young, attacking, midfield threat, really positive. We haven't seen a guy like Alex Lowry in a long time, so I'm a big fan. Leon King, again, should be Rangers' fourth centre-half. And that may, people may be listening thinking, hold on, fourth centre-half? It's a really important position for Rangers because you have Suter, you have Goldson, presumably as your first two, then you have two more. Leon King can then come in and play maybe not all the cup games. You can play certain games, maybe certain games in the league without being disrespectful. There's times where hopefully we'll be in a position to bring on subs, get game time, etc. It's always going to be Goldson and one other. But I'm with you. In terms of a pathway for these two boys, I'm really excited about what they can bring. I think their positions in the squad are kind of settled, and I think they're there. It's good also for our European coefficient in terms of, not coefficient, but the squad registration in terms of Scottish and bringing through our young boys as well. So all that's positive for me, and they are too, certainly. But there's a few more in the B squad there, that, as we've seen at Tynecastle as well, that look, you know, young Adam Devine, etc., done really well. So the boys will tell you that go to see the B team, that there's real talent in there. So I look forward to that. And it looks like as well, B team, with your news on the young boy from Millwall, looks like the B team are making some moves to get some exciting guys in there as well. So it's well worth it now. And hopefully they're seeing the pathway like the other guys are kind of blazing for them.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. And that B team, I've been banging on it by Stevie for literally 5 or 6 years about the need to get B teams. And it certainly looks like, if you're looking at the first season, it's made a big difference. So that's fantastic to see. And these kids getting the experience of playing against men. So it's terrific to see them getting that and then also making an impact and just looking like they're ready when they come into the team. But listen, let's call it a day. That's 37 minutes. You've done superbly well. You've kept me talking for longer than Josh ever does. So well done on that. Hopefully I've not rabbited on, but you certainly haven't. So thank you, Stevie, for coming on. It's been great to talk to you. Of course, guys, if you like what you've heard, if you're following what we do, don't forget to hit subscribe and like on YouTube. That's absolutely free. But also, if you can subscribe on the website, it's also free at the moment. The first 30 days, absolutely gratis. You cannot say fair on that. After that, it reverts to the standard £2.99, which, of course, is an absolute bargain. You're getting constant Rangers content every day, not just these videos, but TikTok content. You get your Twitter feed. You get your articles, including deep dive interviews and tactical analysis and much, much more than that, to be honest, as well. So get on there and sign up. It's absolutely free. Guys, thank you very much for watching this very late morning briefing that is actually now in the afternoon. But thank you and have a terrific weekend. In terms of the YouTube channel, big thing tonight at 10:30, the second part of the Michael Beale interview that we had on earlier this week. So that's one to keep an eye out for. He talks about Connor Goldson, how he was signed for Rangers. Some interesting stuff there, to say the least. And the whole scenario about him leaving Ibrox with Steven Gerrard, he opens up on that, as well as a bit more about what he plans for QPR. So watch out for that at 10:30. And thanks for watching.